This is way better. And we're back.
We are back.
Welcome back to the Dames Vault podcast.
Yeah, the last time we recorded, my friends, we were in a hotel room and we were using my iPhone because...
Yeah. Yeah, and you couldn't tell, could you?
We could totally tell.
Of course I could tell. I told you.
Yeah.
I told you.
Gosh darn it, man. I just tell you what, like, getting out to... it was just a number of things in a row. There was just so much
I'm not upset.
Yeah, you're... Of course you're not.
I'm not, actually.
But what would have happened about time I told you to come and get the mics?
Well, I don't know. I might have gotten them. I don't know. Like, who knows?
It worked out fine. It worked out fine. The people have got her happy.
People like it. Yeah, it's great. They're probably sending out.
Surprise, they're still working
with us. Don't do that again.
It'll be fine. Actually, I think half the problem was we were in a big echoey, cavernous hotel room.
Those gigantic hotel rooms. We really do need a Deus Vault cave to do these recordings. Also, some mics would have helped. But yeah. Setting that
maybe aside, we can eventually get... There are some smaller microphone setups that are easier for, like, kind of on more on the go. One where you kind of set a single microphone in the center and it does record the entire conversation.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, instead of trying to make use of an iPhone. The iPhone's pretty good quality, all things considered. But
oh, no. I mean, like, it's got its uses. Don't misunderstand. I guess it's good enough for government work, but the...
We were at a state park.
Oh, I was thinking more of like the NSA vacuuming up every conversation that's nearby. But no, highly illegal, by the way, NSA. Yeah. I know you can hear me.
They don't really worry about things being illegal, though, do they?
What? No, not anymore. You know, what's a right anymore? I mean...
What's a left? No, I'm just kidding. Actually, we do know what the left is. That's the whole problem.
Honestly, like, couldn't we just, like, petition the NSA to send us, like... those conversations I no longer remember, but they were clearly recording. Can I just have those back?
Well, that'd be great, because then we could just put them up as a podcast episode.
Honestly, yeah. Now that I think about it
might be easier. The podcast would just become really, really easy. It's like, oh, I'll just clip this, and that's our conversation.
Jeez, oh, Pete. What a world we live
easy
in
on the language,
days.
Brother.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, jeez, oh, Paul.
Anyway. Jeez, oh, Paul. Jeez, oh, Matthias.
Leave the apostles out of this.
Yeah, that's right.
How are you?
Great.
Hey, all right. No, I can tell. It's awesome.
I'm Father Dan Kael.
I'm Father Steve Felicia. Did we not introduce ourselves?
I don't know. Did we do that?
I think I introduced myself.
Oh, did you? Maybe.
Maybe.
Or... But a man who needs no introduction.
The man Father, with no name, Father Steve
Father
Felicia.
Ain't no thing like me except me, Felicia.
Yeah, no, there we are. You got to make do with Patrick as your middle name.
Patrick Edward. Yes.
Patrick Edward. Two middle
names.
Hey,
my shout out to my cousin, Stephen.
Yeah, shout out to Stephen.
Yeah,
great name.
Yes. I think he spells it with a V. Yeah, you won't hold it against him, will you?
It's not his fault either.
There are all these babies recently that keep having like Marian names. This is the fourth baby that's been born in like my surroundings between like friends and family that have had Marian names.
What do you mean?
So
Stephen's not a Marian name.
No, but he and his wife just had a new baby.
Okay.
And Regina Marie is her name.
Oh, choice.
So congratulations. Welcome to the world, little one. You know, my brother just had Benedict Mary.
Oh, yeah.
Lucius's just had John Paul, Mary, Gabriel. Gabriel,
John
Maria.
John Paul, Mary,
Gabriel, Maria. That's what
Maria. Wait. John
Zerba's,
Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It was Chiara Chaley Trez.
It is. It also legally is now, too. The birth certificate incorporates it.
That's awesome.
Isn't
big
it?
Fan.
Yeah.
But all these Marian names that are coming out with our good friends and family who are... Yeah, Our Lady is smiling on her children. So, yeah.
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 I'm a big
yeah. Yeah.
Mark.
Never mind. I'm not going to go that direction.
Oh, my God.
Jumped right off into Dumb and Dumber.
We don't. Who needs a radio?
That's right.
Anyways.
Take that. Never mind. I won't say that.
And we're back.
And we're back.
That is the appropriate good use grief. Of that catchphrase.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, so you're good. You're seeing a lot of Marian children, so to speak.
Yeah. They're all under Our Lady's mantle, being protected by her.
Wow.
It's a good thing. We need that in these days.
We'll so. Call that a win.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm holding the Marian blue rosary.
Yeah, you got a rosary.
Well, that's good.
That's a good thing to do.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, man, I love Our Lady. Mm. Like, I thought for sure... By the time that last podcast dropped, Gaza would be
decimated
Earth.
Yeah.
And in fact, the invasion hasn't begun. And just on that note, real quick, my brothers and sisters,
yeah.
again, like I would like to give all thanks and credit to the Blessed Mother, who, yeah. in my opinion, has delayed the ground invasion so that people can evacuate. That is Father Stephen Felicia's professional opinion, because from a military standpoint, like things should have gone. And again, Father Stephen doesn't know what he doesn't know. I don't have massive access to the intel network that collects the information, like the NSA.
And Father Stephen is also recording this a week before it drops. So.
Yeah, no, so again, like, the situation is probably radically different, again, but, like, so right. you're listening to the podcast, which is a little cruddy, and, but at the end, we pray to Hail Mary, and,
yeah.
and, like, I literally, and here we are, a week, by the time it dropped, I literally thought, Dan, like, that place would have been... Like
but you, what else has happened is that Lebanon has also gotten involved. So,
well, again, you can argue about like the strategic and tactical implications of a two-front war in Israel. But like, there's also going to be two carriers nearby, and maybe they're waiting for the Eisenhower. In any event, like, what's happening is you don't call up 300,000 reservists and not go in. No Ukraine, and
yep.
and so like something's going to happen now, but. But like, there is time to evacuate, and there are people moving in that time frame, and that matters.
Yeah,
because I didn't
every day matters,
every hour, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't have estimated the ground invasion taking this long. And again, you didn't come to listen to Deus Vault podcast for politics or geopolitics or the strategic. Yeah.
Well, they did. They've done it 3 times so far.
Yeah.
Anytime you see a podcast that's dropping that has the name just of any single state, yeah, like it's going to be Father Stephen going on and on and on about geopolitical whatever
machinations yes. and war. Yeah, normally,
right.
the yeah no they
Ukraine,
all
Afghanistan, Israel. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, here we are. Yeah. And again, like I wanted to give all credit to Our Lady, the Blessed Mother, Mary. Of Nazareth, who is pretty awesome, and in my opinion, keeping the world in one piece despite our best efforts to break everything. I'm using the royal we there. I mean, like humanity in general.
That's not what the royal we means. Never
I know, mind. I know. Gotcha. You know, man, the royal we. What do you mean we don't know?
We is a singular word in the royal we.
The royal we.
Okay, anyway, what's the topic?
I want to talk about childhood.
Okay, good. We went from babies to war, back to babies.
Well,
good.
No. Like, I mean, it's all actually the same thing. I don't know, buddy.
What?
Like,
help me out with this.
I will. Relax.
Please.
So you ever hear the phrase, the child plays father to the man?
I think I've heard you say it.
You've never actually heard it?
Mm-mm.
Really? I have no idea of its origin point.
Okay.
It sounds like high literature. You know, I'm sure it was Shakespeare.
Clearly.
But actually, clearly. For all I know, it very well could be.
Yeah.
But that's a highly educated phrase. Yeah. Do you know what it means, though?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, help me out. Help
no,
me out.
Gladly
maybe I can
will.
Add some commentary.
The no, the idea is this. The child plays father to the man. It means that the person you are today is directly corresponding to who you were as a kid and what happened to you. Like, you are the end result of a continuing end result, because tomorrow theoretically might happen, of Daniel Patrick Edward Cale when he was a boy of 4, basically. Mm. Like, and the life you lived and the choices you made have obviously directly impacted the person you are right now. And so, like, the phrase, the child plays father to the man, means, like, you've had a hand in raising yourself. Make sense?
Okay. I see. That makes much more sense.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, fine.
So,
go ahead.
Okay, good. Now we're on the same page.
Yes.
Okay, that thought's been, like, rolling around my head because, so the other day, the Camino crew wanted to watch The Dark Knight.
cool.
And so, you know, getting on Father Stephen's schedule a month out in advance, and then it happened. And so I rolled into town, and they put on this movie that came out in 2008. That's when The Dark Knight was released. And I think we've actually talked about that movie in particular. I can't remember. We've talked about The Batman. That was fun. That was a fun movie review.
Yeah, but we haven't done Dark Knight stuff.
Have we not?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I mean, maybe just in passing here.
We'll
and
ask
there.
Bridget.
But anyways.
Yeah, come on. It's funny.
It is kind of terrifying. The most of my friends become like extensions of my memory. And so like I have a good friend named Brad Carteau. Shout out to Brad Carteau, who his long-term and short-term memory are spectacular as well. Again, like I'm very blessed with friends who have sharp memories. And like I will ask him all kinds. Get that out of there.
I don't know what the heck's going on.
Yeah, I know. The NSA is trying to tap in. Wow, that's
go ahead.
I didn't even mean to bring them up. Man, now they're trying to insert themselves into the show. Oh, he was holding his cell phone close to the mic, and it was building up static.
Yep.
Anywho, Brad's got a fantastic long-term memory, and like puts mine to shame, honestly. And I've got a decent one, although it's getting worse all the time because the short term's no longer recording. And so you're no longer building up a database.
Something about sleep and a lot of percussive, instruments of war around your head.
Or five-fingered death punch. Been listening to them as of late.
Too many rock stars.
Too many rock stars! I'm not drinking one today, though.
Need it today.
I was eyeing the Pepsi One over there, which, speaking of old stuff.
Pepsi One. Wow.
I think it's just Diet Pepsi, but it's sitting next to all the Diet Coke. It's the lone man out. How about that?
Yeah. Well, Father Maskell would not be pleased.
Oh, man. No, he set fire to the cave. Point is this.
Sorry.
Brad has a spectacular long-term memory, and oftentimes when I can't remember stuff, I will, and he will be like dead-on accurate about like days and stuff.
Wow.
Like
cool.
In the month of March in 1994. And you're like, oh, okay. Anyways, so real, real power player there. Does a lot of work for a Fortune 500 company. I like him. Another product, another fine product of St. Therese Catholic Grade School.
There you go.
And Bishop Lewis High School. yeah, I know, right? How about that game?
But remember that thing where we said, despite their best efforts, to the contrary? Bishop Lewis is basically just a microcosm of the world at this point.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just kidding.
And I'm going to
I'm saying that for your benefit and Jimmy Schindler. You heard me.
So there I was in 2008.
Sure.
Graduating West Point. Oh, wow. This is all about the NSA. I didn't even mean for this to happen. There's spoiler. There are going to be, okay. There are spoilers here now.
Okay, go for it.
So if you haven't seen The Dark Knight, go watch it.
Okay.
Because it's a really good Batman movie. It's kind of intense. Mm-hmm. But I recommend it. Father Stephen recommends The Dark Knight with Christian Bale and Heath Ledger and directed by Chris Nolan. And okay, so now that's enough as far as spoilers are. You're going to have to skip like 15 minutes ahead if you want to hear the rest of the podcast without seeing this movie. But one of his methods of catching the Joker is Batman turns every cell phone into a listening device, which it, by the way, basically is. And also it turns it also into like a sonar device so that he can map rooms. And by the way, they can do that too. Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Well, anyways, everything in this Batman movie has occurred.
Nice.
And then there's the ethical dilemma of like, how is this moral to like literally be listening in on everybody so that you can find your one man kind of thing? And that, by the way, is what they do. Or potentially they could do. But setting that down, again, I don't mean for this to be about the NSA. I want to talk about childhood. This movie came out in 2008.
Okay.
When like we would have like conversations about morality in the public sphere because we were still, you know, only 7 years away from September 11th and stuff like that.
Mm.
And we're done with that now, if you haven't noticed.
Yep, noticed.
But so anyway, so
full secular humanism, full
stop.
Relativism.
Yeah. So yeah. And by the way, like the amazing thing is there is no morality in that if you don't have religion and all you have is utilitarianism. And then the question is, whose utility? Well, how about the guy with the most power? That seems to be the case. Okay, fine. Enough on that. Enough on Father Stephen comments bleakly on the state of society. And we're back. This movie came out in 2008.
You keep returning to that.
Because I'm trying to get to the main point. And
I haven't been cutting you off.
I know. I've been cutting myself off. I'm having to take all these segues to get away from me.
Yes.
Anyways, And so now I'm watching it again in 2023, and I am at least 13 years. I am the oldest man in this room by 13 years watching this movie with the people I affectionately refer to as kids. And again, not that they're very intelligent. They hold down reasonable conversations. They're practicing Catholics. It was delightful. I playfully accused the new person of being a flat earther. You had to be there.
Apparently.
Shout out to Alyssa. She's not a flat earther. Man, the things you learn. Yes. And I'm sitting there having this conversation, and I realize, like, they had originally seen this movie, because they'd all been alive in 08.
Sure.
But, like, they were, like, 12.
They were little kids, yeah.
They were, like, 12 or something like that. Or maybe a bit older. I don't know. But, oh, wait.
No.
Because I would have been 20.
Wait a minute. No. What? So, like, they're all my brother's age. They'd have been, like, 8.
Okay.
Yep.
So they're all watching this movie, like, when they're 8. Or maybe, you know, if their parents
maybe 10 or something,
have some restraint, they're watching it when they're, like, 12 or 13.
Yeah, a little later.
And, yeah. But. So maybe they didn't see it immediately when it came out, but they saw it when they were younger.
Sure.
And so there we are. We watch the movie, and it's an enjoyable movie, and it's done. Mm-hmm. And then we start to converse about it to see if there's anything that can be gained and stuff like that. So it's a delightful little Catholic conversation about my favorite topic, Batman. And I'm sitting there realizing that I have pondered this movie to the point where, like, I can pontificate about it. And I do. And then we do some comparisons to what's on. They pull up some YouTube videos that they had watched after they had watched The Dark Knight, the movie. So there's plenty of YouTube commentary on it. And the commentary is so secular. And, you know, it classically revolves around expectation subversion and the concept that, like, the Joker is the hero. And it comes back, well, that's fascinating, to utilitarianism. Mm. You know, like, the Joker is the one you see who is responsible for eliminating organized crime in Gotham City, and he is. Like as, mind you, like, he's just out of, and there, the point is, like, when Batman couldn't do it, and in fact, Batman's breaking all these rules, and at least the Joker plays by his own rules, which is there are no rules, and da-da-da-da, and it's very, again, like, it's just an attempt to prove how smart you are and to try and be like, it's a Chris Nolan movie, so it's never what it seems. And mind you, I don't disagree. I do disagree with that in this case. I think this is one of the most direct Chris Nolan movies he ever made. And that's honestly to his benefit, because now the more he tries to get trippy with your head, like, the less the movie makes any sense at all.
Right. Yeah, he's gone too far.
You've gone too
far. To the point of jumping off the edge.
Well, again, you don't need to, and I wouldn't recommend going to see Oppenheimer. It's too sexually explicit. Again, like, who needs that in a movie about the father of the atom bomb? But it's there.
That's too bad. I mean,
again, like, it doesn't make any sense. Right. Again, like, and there it is. It's like, what are you doing? And I have my theories on that too, and they're not good. But be that as it may, imagine that isn't part of the problem of Oppenheimer. And I haven't seen it. But the
to quote Father Dietrich, I wonder where that came from. Probably hell.
but it's jumping around. The movie is like, it's not in linear order. It's not in sequential order. And is that really necessary? Like that works for a guy who has no short-term memory, and you're telling the story backwards so that you get sort of a sense of his own, what it must be like for him.
Sure.
Because he can't make his own memories going forward. And since you don't know how it all started, like, you're discombobulated going backwards, which is brilliant. But here, like, no, you're just trying to tell me about the father of the atom bomb, man. Like, why put it out of order just to see how confused I can get? Like, put a clock at the bottom or something. Like, what year is this? Because you're jumping through years. Okay. Hooah. So this movie is not like that. I think it's the most straightforward one. And I can pontificate about it. And then I look at these other people commenting on The Dark Knight. And I hyper disagree with them. And I suspect they're aroundish my age, these people who are making commentaries. I bet you they're in their early to mid-30s. And I'm in my late 30s. But the point is, like, I have been studying Batman since I was a kid. like, and study might be too strong a word. Like, I've been absorbing information about Batman.
You've been receiving Batman.
Since I was a kid. And so, like, the way I received The Dark Knight in my 20s is way different than how someone who was, because it's all informed by, like, comic books and Batman, the animated series, and things like that. And so, like, it's way different than the way these kids I'm having this conversation in this room with are receiving The Dark Knight, because this is more or less their first, like, jump into Batman. Or again, as I was talking to Connor, like, he had watched a lot of Batman Brave and the Bold, which is another cartoon series about Batman. And that had informed how he was encountering The Dark Knight to some extent. And there's just, like, a massive break. But I can get into those comparisons later. The point is, when I went home, as I'm driving home and I'm thinking about this, it's that, like, how they've received Batman and how these commentators have received Batman, given their age, is radically different than how I did. Hmm. And my childhood wasn't as bleak, wasn't as dark and stuff like that. We were just starting to play with, like, these concepts of like, real darkness in The Dark Knight, for instance. Like, consider how that movie ends. It ends with them telling a lie because a lot of stuff has happened. They put a lot of criminals in jail. There's been a mad terrorist who's an anarchist, and the district attorney, whose reputation the whole case hangs on, to keep all these criminals off the street, has gone psychotic. After his girlfriend was murdered, and he has killed police officers and kidnapped a family and threatened a young boy's life before they managed to stop him, and they cover that up, so that they can keep the 800, 900 hardened criminals in prison, because if the world knew, like, they would let them out. Because only, like, the fact that this guy was a good guy were they willing to go along with him basically saying, we're going to lock these people up. And so, like, there's a lot there in just what I said that doesn't work on any sort of Christian morality, fascinatingly enough.
An entirely broken human situation.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, like, I reflect on that, like, so here I am in my early 20s now, seeing this sort of quote-unquote side of Batman. And mind you, they've been playing with the darker aspects of Batman since the 80s. And I was familiar enough with them, too. But always there was sort of, like, this ray of hope in that. And mind you, I think there's...
Since Tim Burton's?
No. Well, yes, in that regard. But I was thinking of The Killing Joke, which it's the origin story of the Joker, which actually a lot of The Dark Knight has aspects of in it. And in The Killing Joke, which, as I said, is the origin story of the Joker, and the Joker admits as he's telling the story that he doesn't even know if it's true anymore. He thinks it might be. And he says, my life might be multiple choice. And he reveals that he had one bad day as a stand-up comedian who wasn't a very good stand-up comedian. And then his wife died, and he ends up falling into a vat of chemicals and getting disfigured, and then goes further nuts and becomes the Joker, okay? And then he kidnaps Commissioner Gordon, and he's telling Commissioner Gordon this story. And he's crippled Barbara Gordon. He shot Gordon's daughter. And so he's showing him pictures, and again, like, this is shades of Hamas, honestly. He's showing Gordon these pictures of his daughter bleeding to death as he's telling him this terrible story about his own life and his hope, the Joker's hope, and you can totally see how this overlays with The Dark Knight, is that Gordon will break, that Gordon will become just as crazy as he is, and he doesn't. And Batman shows up and rescues Gordon, and they save Barbara Gordon's life too, although she's paralyzed after that. And Batman runs down the Joker, and Batman's worrying within himself about whether he should kill him or not. And so there's this big fight, and in the end, Batman captures the Joker, and Joker's going nuts because he's very upset that again, like, people can choose sort of to the better parts of their nature. And Batman catches him and basically offers to help him at the end. Like, it's a very, very kind of Christian moment where he's like, I'm not going to kill you. Let me help you not be crazy anymore. So, like, mm-hmm. it's completely Christian in the fact that, like, they've totally taken this completely evil event mm-hmm. and turned it in on itself. And they've captured the evil once more and caged it, and they've decided not to kill it again mm-hmm. And offer him hope. And Joker sort of has a moment of sanity and says, no, he says, it's too late. And he says, I can't trust you, basically. And he tells a joke about how there are two insane asylum escapees who are escaping the insane asylum. And one jumps, they're escaping from rooftop, and one jumps to a building across. And the other guy's too scared to jump. And the guy who's already made it says, well, I'll turn this flashlight on, and you walk across the flashlight beam to me on the roof. And the other guy laughs and says, no. He says, I don't trust you. He says, when I'm halfway across, you'll turn the light off.
Yeah.
And so they both laugh, and then Batman keeps laughing, and Joker kind of finds it odd that Batman's laughing and he stops laughing. And so all of that is like laced into it. So like you see these darkness, but you also see this light kind of thing. And like that's my childhood, Dan.
Yeah.
And like all of that has pushed me to where I am. And that's a weird thing to say as a priest sitting here talking in another priest's basement with my brother priest. And so like are we cheating children out of their childhood by like giving them too much of the adult world? Like, I got that in drips and drabs, and then there was a major terrorist attack. Mm-hmm. And even then though, like again, I returned
the
to
way
like,
that the way that Batman looks after that. You know, it's showing up in our pop culture as people reacting to the world, because there's so many, like, instead of just being like crime lords in New York City, it's terrorist organizations,
right? And
you know,
and like this is
like the whole thing with you know, the Batman.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, no. Okay. To go to the actual movie.
To go to
the most recent Batman.
Like, the Riddler isn't just Jim Carrey in a green suit of question marks.
That was always a bad portrayal, but go on. Right. Yes, I know what you mean.
So like, but now he's a guy who
is a serial killer.
Somewhere in the dark web, you know, has formed a group of other masked men to come and lay siege to Gotham.
Right. It's very nihilistic.
Right.
And again,
but I mean, it's more than just he's just trying to get Batman. It's not just, you mm-hmm. know, superhero versus supervillain anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like taking these same characters and similar tropes and twisting them to show, you know, to be the poetic instrument to talk about the current issues of the day,
right?
The darkest issues of the day,
right? And are we even talking? Like, I mean, what is like we watch this as entertainment, and mind you, we had a decent, I think, conversation about that movie, but. Mm-hmm. But are we even talking? Or again, that movie's come and gone, and people don't really even think about it, I would guess, too much anymore. And like mind you, the sequel's coming out, and everybody's looking forward to that.
Right.
But you're sort of in this. You know, childhood to me is very important. Like, I don't think here's the other side of that. Like, I haven't given up talking about Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Like. I still do. Like, I talk about him, please God, on a deeper level than I did before.
Right. It's not just simply owning the action figure and playing.
Right. You know? And,
you know, because now you're engaging with that deeper use of the tropes.
Right. And like, so.
Because you are a man, you know.
Well, right. And yet I'm still a child. Like, look at what I got on this table here.
Yeah. He's got his Ghostbusters.
That's the Ecto-1A.
The Ecto-1.
And, yeah. And I love it. Like, my dad never did that. Like, now that's an interesting thing. Like, so I think about my father a decent amount, and because, well, I'm very impressed by him, very impressed with my parents in general. But like, I am always trying to learn more about my father because I think he's so good that he encapsulates so much of what I've always wanted to be and what I think every man should be.
Mm.
And like, if the world was full of Bob Felicias, like, anyways. It would be what a world it would be. It would be a world full of saints. But But like dad would watch cowboy movies and, yeah. and television too, you know, not the Masked Avenger. That's a Batman reference, but the, he would watch, you know, Lone Ranger.
Sure.
And shows and TV like that. And that informed my dad's sense of justice. Like, again, the child plays father to the man.
Yeah.
And
which, by the way, is William Wordsworth.
Oh, there it is. Cool.
It's taken from a poem called My Heart Leaps Up by William Wordsworth. And apparently there are all manner of different interpretations of the phrase that comes from. It's from the last three lines of the poem. Mm-hmm. The child is father of the man, something like that. So,
right, and so
for the sake of the listener, my heart leaps up when I behold a rainbow in the sky. So was it when my life began. So is it now I am a man. So be it when I shall grow old or let me die. The child is father of the man, and I could wish my days to be bound each to each by natural piety.
Oh, so that's good.
There's the Wordsworth poem.
But. That's amazing. No, so like. I sit here and I look at like my dad and like the life he's led. And again, he was only a cop for like 3 years, not long. But like that was all informed by like his childhood sense of right and wrong and justice and doing the right thing. And mind you, like I borrowed a lot of that into my own life. But like his was the West, you know, like this sense of like bringing order to chaos. And I grew up in this world that is, in a certain sense, in order, but is tending towards chaos. Hmm. Isn't that fascinating?
Hmm.
And like, but my dad didn't have like cowboy paraphernalia sitting on his desk. Like my dad didn't have like cops and robbers stuff on his desk. Like he had his pens and his pencils when he became a salesman and you know, the computer and stuff like that. And that was it. And a picture of his kids and his wife. And
was it something he simply more internalized? I mean, some of this might just be personality differences.
Well, maybe, but like consider maybe generational shift. Like dad's desk looked like everybody else's desk in the bullpen.
Yeah.
You know, and picture your kids and stuff and then your work stuff and basically about it. Maybe, you know, like a sports team thing or something. Maybe. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And like, but my dad, like kids love my father.
Sure.
Like he's, and mind you, there are personality types like that that just are naturally good with kids. Great, praise God. But they do. And my dad does have a joyful, playful side. And I can think of plenty of times, like some of the happiest memories interacting with my father are like him playing games with me. And that was honestly, when I reflect back on it, again, my dad was already in his 40s when I came along. So like his energy level just wasn't quite there, and he had to have back surgery too. We just limited his ability to play with his young son, which again, don't hold it against him. I'm glad I exist. Really grateful to Robert and Joan Felicia. But the
whereas my father was still in his 20s,
right, makes a difference, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And well, I don't know, did you, and so like I said, maybe it's generational difference. There's what, like a 30-year difference between me, my father, and yours? No, 20.
Probably 20.
20-year difference.
I think,
okay,
yeah.
That would make sense. If dad was 40 when I was born in 85, I don't know how old your old man is, but...
Oh, maybe only 15 or something then.
Oh, okay, fine.
He was probably 27 or something.
Okay, cool. So, still, like, did your dad have toys on his desk? Or in his bedroom or anything like that?
I think there were some little things, but it wasn't like... He doesn't have them now. Let's put it that way.
Interesting.
There's not room for it. You know, he's got papers everywhere.
Well, good for him.
He's an engineer, you know.
But mind you, like I think back on my own desk, I've got papers everywhere on my desk. There isn't any Star Trek or any 40K or anything in my office.
Right. Same thing.
Well, again, like I got images, you know, religious images and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And mind you, I got that throughout the rectory too. But, and yeah. Like, I just don't get the vibe. Like, that was a thing. Like, even...
Well, so, maybe getting away from, like, thinking about just the desk.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, you're saying that even on your own desk, you don't have it. But, like, in your house.
Like, well, yeah, no, I've got full display cases. Have you been inside the rectory yet?
I haven't been there yet,
You need
no.
to come.
Yeah.
We'll come. Hang out sometime.
We'll do that. But,
I don't know, sort of holding on to some of those things of the childhood. I mean, a lot of that's packed away in my parents' attic for me. Batman action figures.
Would you unpack it or would you give it away?
I think it's more to the mind of, you know, about time my brothers have boys, mm-hmm. you know, now Benedict is with us. So like as when Benedict grows up, maybe mom will pull out the box of Batman stuff for him to play with.
No, righteous. Know,
that kind of thing.
Righteous. But no, like who I am,
mm-hmm.
like I'm still doing that sort of thing. Like, and again, like you can argue, like, am I?
But again, your perspective on it isn't, this is a play thing. This is it's more about an object of your contemplation on the current problems.
Oh, that's what I use it as.
Culture. Yeah.
Right. Am I just being sneaky? And like,
I'd like to think you maybe weren't, but.
Well, maybe I can do two things. But like, I don't know. Like, I contemplate Ghostbusters a lot now. Like, my family uses Ghostbusters as a second language. Like, we will quote that movie, you know, oh, thank you, Vince, and stuff like that. And that has meaning. Like, my mod just did it the other day when I was at home visiting her. I can't remember exactly what we said, but it was something like, oh, thank you, Vince. Like, I handed her something that was useless. And so, but again, like, it's all encapsulated in that phrase. And since we share the same language, and this goes back to my concept of cinematic tribalism.
Sure.
But,
well, I mean, that's certainly the case in my family. It's the same ones you would expect. It's like Princess Bride, Monty mm-hmm, Python, mm-hmm. you know.
Right. And so there must be something good in those, and hence our hidden theme of always anything good is Catholic.
Sure.
But the everything is Catholicism. But like our childhood, like, like my dad has like taken the good and set aside maybe the childlike, and am I just too attached? Like, and I don't know. Like, I'm talking out loud. I was thinking about talking with these kids about something that is my childhood that is basically metamorphosized with me, whereas Dad didn't go to see... Dad watched the Adam West Batman when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get all excited when The Dark Knight came out.
Yeah.
And the...
that's 'cause Adam West and Christian Bale are very different people.
That's fine. Again, like, I'm not... But he didn't even get excited, really, about the Tim Burton one, either. And although he let me watch it, so he must have thought there was something good in it, although that was back in the time before the parents screened the movies. You just presume that Hollywood wasn't going to screw your kids up. Anyways, yeah. Those are different times.
Right.
The
No, they definitely will.
Well, they're actually aiming at it.
Yeah.
But the but I sit here and I say, like I, you know, there's that you must be like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven kind of thing. And, like, all I am is just a really big kid, you know. Like, I used to think, and tell me what you used to think. I used to think that one day I would be an adult. This was back when I was, like, 11 or 12. And my mind, my processes of my mind would be different. Like I wouldn't be exactly the same person. Like all this childish stuff that I was interested in, and fine, you know, D&D and movies and playing with my buddies across the street and stuff. Like, all of that would somehow, like, be gone. And I would somehow be, like, I would always know what to do. And I would always be brave. And like, I would just be a different person. Like, I just would be different. And this is the child version of Steven. And then this is the adult version of Steven. And what I've found it's just me.
Yeah.
And there aren't different versions. Like, I'm doing more with the material I've always had. And mind you, as I get more material, I'm doing stuff with that too.
Right. But like, you could make a whole commentary on, like, you know, the acorn is the oak tree and... Child plays father to the man. But, but I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, I guess the simple question is, you know, sort of what is the big thing that you're trying to get to here on the order of using this? So, like, yeah, I mean, my interaction with my, you know, the proposed future self would have been something similar, like, oh, when I get older, I won't have this problem. Oh, when I get older, I'll be able to be independent and have these kind of, like, I don't know. It was more along the lines of, you know, I can't wait till I grow up, you know, and
well, I guess
I have these more of these maybe responsibilities, but also more along the lines of some freedoms.
I guess it boils down to is the question is, did I do it right? Like, did I raise myself okay?
Yeah, right.
Like, mind you, I'm not trying to do a psychotherapy session in public here.
No.
But like, it's just one of those things where you're, like, thinking about the fact that you just watched with another group of adults, like, a comic book movie. And
it's not really a comic book movie, though,
well,
is it?
I mean, well, again, like there's connotations in that phrase. Like, oh, that means it's for kids. Mind you, like,
sure, it's clearly not, though. I mean,
isn't that interesting?
It's beyond that now because it is social commentary. It is philosophy put into cinematic form. It might be bad philosophy, but they're trying to make a point,
right?
You know, I mean, there's nobody who's involved in cinema anymore who's just making. I mean,
well, I don't think they
may be making nihilistic, you know, points, but it's still a philosophy of nihilism, you know.
Well, so like there was a movie came out, Denzel Washington movie, early 90s, back young Denzel, and the it was called The Pelican Brief, and
yeah.
it's not exactly an action. He plays a lawyer, I'm pretty sure,
right?
And it's about, you know, like a corporation trying to cover up environmental abuse and willing to kill people over stuff. Okay, something like that.
Sure.
And like, that didn't require me to have a concept of Batman. And again, I'm not even saying if it was a good movie or a bad movie. I'm just saying I saw it. And it seemed to hold, there was enough intensity in it to hold my attention, and then fine. Like, that didn't require me to know Batman. And like lots of people went and saw that movie, and they were willing to make the movie, even though it didn't involve superheroes. It you know, it involved you know, jurisprudence and assassination. Yeah,
sure.
And like again, like that's the kind of movie, in quotes, I would say an adult goes to see kind
sure.
of thing.
Yeah.
And like, and mind you, I'm not, like I said, I don't know if the Pelican Brief's even any good, but you don't make
business,
movies
business
like that.
Business numbers? Is this working?
Yes. Yeah. See, and that's a kid's movie!
Yeah, right.
And like...
But it's not, though. Like, the reason that the Lego movie works is because it's accessible to both adults and children.
Well, it's the Sesame Street effect. Like there were always double meanings hidden in the Sesame Street.
Right. That's so the parents. I mean, honestly, I think most of that was for marketing purposes. Like you could entice the entire family to come watch this because you knew that the parents were also going to find something funny out of it. And what's really great about it is when you know your kid goes, "Dad, what are you laughing at?" And then I'll tell you when you're older.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like. Because you not because it's dirty or anything, but because you won't understand it right now.
Right.
You know, you won't grasp it.
Well, I mean, there was clearly a reference to marijuana in one of them. But anyway,
oh, really?
It's like, oh yeah, I was really, dude, man, your plant's asleep. Oh yeah, man, well, wake it up. Oh yeah,
that's hilarious. Then,
that's hilarious. But like, it's you know, clearly like these are two stoners. But yes, like the whole point is trying to teach you to water your plants. But the yeah, and give them sunlight. But I don't know. Like is. I just struggle with this. Like, have we become? Was I supposed to kick the ladder away, kind of thing? Instead, we just keep climbing on it, or something, or playing. Did I raise myself right?
And, are you concerned that your attachment to Batman is immature?
It's like that. But I'm not sure that's it at the kernel of what's bothering me.
Okay,
but it's like
but
that.
But take all those words for what they mean. Like okay. I'm not trying to
no let's
know,
talk.
Pin,
we're
not
just talking
to pin
here,
you down.
Man.
I'm not trying to pin you down to something. But like
pretend I like talking to you and I value your opinion. Go.
Well, that'd be a first. No, but like what is immaturity? You know, in the end, it's just a story. Right,
okay.
And even adults like stories.
Well, yeah, humans like stories.
Sure, and if it's something that has been built up, let's make a comparison here. The Hobbit.
Okay.
The Hobbit is a children's story.
Sure is.
Tolkien knew it was a children's story.
Okay.
He wrote it to be one.
Okay.
But the same people who read The Hobbit ended up reading Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Lord of the Rings is not a children's story.
That's interesting.
It's a lot darker.
Now that's interesting.
But it's the same people.
Right.
Same characters.
Mm-hmm.
Same issues.
Right? That's very interesting. Sort of the same effect happens in Harry Potter. Like, you start out reading those in third grade, and you finish reading them in late high school.
Yeah, that's true.
And the characters, and the threat that's happening in the first one is not the threat of the Deathly Hallows by the end.
Right. I mean, I think... I'm not a fan of Harry Potter, but like as far as
whatever.
Like if you were to even just watch the movies, like, you know, yeah, you see little kids running around and they're playing a chess game and there's like some scary things in it. And then, you know, and then there's like the possibility of this greater threat that's bigger than them. They don't really have a full sense of it yet, but there's this, you know, the Sorcerer's Stone and you know, they're trying to understand what world they're getting into. And as the movies or books go on, like you have a greater sense of, oh, there's something deeper and worse going mm-hmm. on that's more than just these kids going to school.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's some aspect of that. But, like, yeah, you do kind of dive more deeply into the darker
plots.
Well,
you grow, like you said, like with The Hobbit and The Lord mm-hmm. of the Rings, and similar. Like, again.
Like young kids should watch Batman the Animated Series.
I agree. I 100% agree.
And then when they get older, they should be able to grapple with the Dark Knight or the Batman, right? Like, it's the same characters. So they're interested in them because of maybe the characters or because of, you know, it's the some of the same tropes being used again, but then they're expanded a little bit.
Why didn't the same thing happen with the cowboy movie? Or maybe it did, but it never maintained itself like this is.
Well, I wonder if that's just simply a cultural problem where like the cowboy movie fell off the edge for Hollywood. And it before the age of making use of cinema for making philosophical statements or you know political or sociological statements.
Interesting.
Perhaps.
Well, no, we're just talking here, man.
But did it not happen? I mean, have there been cowboy movies that?
I mean, Tombstone sort of plays into like the, for lack of a better term, like adult, and again, I don't mean that in sort of the erotic, unfortunate, pornographic term, but like an adult mindset of cowboys. And again, you get into like the nihilistic, ugly side of the West, whereas earlier when it's more like Adam West's Batman, like it's very much, you know who the good guys and the bad guys are, hence the expression cowboys and Indians.
Right.
And the And now you're getting into some like, ooh, no, these are some rough and tumble times. And now most cowboy movies, when they do come out, are exploring that sort of darker side of reality.
Well, people saw that there were injustices done on both sides, that it wasn't as simple as cowboys versus Indians.
Sure. And so you sort of, but again, like the audiences that come to those movies aren't coming because they saw cowboy movies when they were a kid, I don't think.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
Well, it could just be that this is one place where the trope failed. You know, where the, you know, the style or the genre of movie didn't pick up the same life of its own.
Right. And so
that's not to say that it couldn't. I mean, well, I wonder.
They're still making a few here and there, you know.
Right.
It's still an interesting setting.
Right. It's just not the sort of the common moviegoers genre of the day. Like, I mean, it's falling off the edge now, but the superhero movie has been around for a long time. And the superhero movie is interesting because it's something that's completely fictional. You can create a character who has particular special abilities that's different than what the world gives. But a Western is a historical fiction. I mean, these things are going to be based on real characters and things that really happened.
Sure.
So it's a little bit different on the order of dealing with reality, but historical fiction is not the same thing as a fiction. A fiction can tell you true things. Historical fiction is going to have to make use of other true things that actually did happen to tell those true things, which I wonder if that's enough of a reason, enough of a background to make it so that it doesn't have this thing where you have a younger audience watching cowboys and Indian movies, and now they're watching, you know, nihilist philosopher remaking True Grit or something like that. Like it's not. I don't know.
Fill your hands, you bad philosopher.
Right.
Anyways, but the you ever see True Grit?
I actually haven't.
Oh, it's really good.
Is it good?
Oh man,
the old one and the new one. I think I know that.
Well, I mean, if you like John Wayne, it's actually a decent John Wayne. I think all. Well, I can't say that. A lot of John Wayne movies are just decent because he's in them.
I see.
Not all of them. And then he can really scale up, to be fair to him. Yeah. But then the Coen brothers, I think, did the remake. And that is also really, really good. Oh, yeah. Okay. Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges.
And Matt Damon.
Never mind.
but anyways, like... It
Go ahead.
Well, no. Like, I enjoyed my evening. Like, I don't want anyone, if any of the Camino crew are listening to this, like, I enjoyed my evening with you. I don't think it was time wasted. I enjoyed our conversation and that sort of thing. And I enjoyed the fact Not that it's all about bringing me joy, but I love the fact that it made me think deeper about my own like relationship with my past and as a kid, and I keep coming back to it, like, am I doing this right? Kind of thing, like, is, you know, mind you, like, I'm a priest, so my dad just stopped talking about cowboy movies with his buddies, like, and. To be fair, like, I don't know how often he talked about cowboy movies with his buddies. But
I dare say there were other things that filled up his culture in his youth.
Isn't that interesting?
In our youth, we had, you know, we make fun of America not having a culture. We have a commercial.
Yeah.
But, like, a lot of what that commercial is filled up with is the cinematic world. And, you know, we've talked about, we've sort of lamented the loss of the common cultural, you know, connecting point of like, hey, did you see that episode last night? And everyone knew which episode you were talking about, right? Exactly. And so that's fallen off. But I think in our youth, we still had that connection. And the common connection of our culture was a lot of what was viewed on television or on the big screen. And so I think your culture gets filled up with something, and that becomes the thing that forms you in your youth, and then therefore the child playing father to the man, mm-hmm. right? So I wonder if we were to have Bob Felicia on this episode, what he would say was the thing that was in his childhood which formed him, which was the thing he clung to that as he grew, as he got into young adult and full-on adulthood, like, came to full fruit, right?
Right.
In his person. For you, it might be Batman, because it's the, you know, the common cultural thing that you've clung to, and it was around when you were young and is also around now in two different ways. Mm-hmm. You know, what was that for Bob Felicia?
Cowboys. But again, but like,
right,
like,
but, like, but he, it wasn't, though, because it didn't stick around for his older years.
Like, again, like, to him, it hatched. To him, like, his concepts of justice and mercy are, again, like, obviously informed by the Roman Catholic Church.
Well, then maybe it did. But I think there were other greater things going on in the culture around him that would have had more of an influence on him.
Well, it was more his life. Again, like, are we depriving, and maybe that's the final point here, like, should I be more engaged in a way that doesn't exist right now? And I mean, yeah, heaven, but the
sure,
no matters, heaven exists, but I'm not in it,
right?
And like are, again, and my point isn't to be all nihilistic, but like, and I've said as much, like, I suspect society is collapsing around us. Our good commercial is starting to run out of gas, and the like no. I'm still raising myself, and the tools I have around me are still made of plastic and paint. And although,
yeah, but again, I think that's just the thin outer shell of a deeper,
well, okay,
of a deeper world.
Let me pull
philosophy.
Myself out of that. Like, at the end of the day, the plastic and paint is just an excuse for me to be with the people. I prefer games where I can play and see my opponent, and the opponent's normally my friend.
Yeah,
and I prefer movies where I can talk to people afterwards, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Like, that's really what I've. Yeah. Anyways.
And again, those things are just the entry point. Okay, fine. Talking about the way it engages you socially, mm-hmm. with other folks.
Right.
Again, that's just the foundation block upon which you stand for the deeper conversations about life and the faith and philosophy and our Lord and you name it. Like, I don't think it's a matter of being immature, and I don't think it's a matter of having done it wrong. I think it's just what you have to work with.
This will be my final question, and I promise I'll let the topic drop for this episode.
Hit me. I can take it.
Sorry, that was a reference to The Dark Knight. Anyway, but Theo.
Gosh. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Well, that's Batman.
I know.
But the 1989 Batman, yes, Tim Burton.
I know.
But no. I lost my train of thought. It was a good question.
Last thing you're going to ask before we drop the point.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I left you hanging there.
Oh no, massive derailment. That was a shame because it was a good question, whatever it was.
Let's stick around for a minute until it comes back.
Oh gosh, I'm trying to rattle it loose here. There it is. If our society was more religious, do you think Batman would be so popular? Do you think like if people were going to church and were more engaged in their faith, do you think? Because again, like I
think Batman would be different.
You think he'd still be around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because everyone loves a good story. Yeah. I think it'd be different. I think it'd be different dealing with different issues.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Because whether or not people are going to church doesn't impact the reality that we live in a fallen world.
Right.
You're still going to have sin to deal with.
Right. Well, yeah.
Right.
And so you're always
It may
have
look
stories.
Much more along the lines of, you know, think about the relative innocence of a Batman character from the animated series, right?
Mm-hmm.
In comparison to a Dark Knight who's making use of cell phone tapping and all this kind of stuff, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. It might look more like that. We might have a more direct sense of justice, and the bad guy might be more of a bad guy, and the evil guy would be someone we're fighting, and it would be in some sort of a personification of our sin. I think that would probably be the direction it would go, but I don't think it would go away.
See, like, I get the weird vibe, and maybe I'm way off. Maybe this is just Father Stephen on lack of sleep, which is Father Stephen all the time. But, like, I get the weird vibe that, yeah, you might have still Batman for the kids and stuff like that, but, like, I bet you we would be living more, and don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, but we would live our lives more like Batman in reality. And so you wouldn't see him so much on screen.
In what regard? Mass vigilante?
No. like just...
More just.
Yeah, there's the concept of justice, of good and evil. Like, don't you want to be Batman? And maybe that's just me, but there's something to it, and like the people would be emulating more of that without the vigilantism, please God. But like you would have more people in organizations, more people in structured organizations that have purpose that points towards the transcendent, the Super Justice League kind of thing. And again, like, no, I think like it's a weird thing to say. If you had more people wearing robes in monasteries, you'd have less people watching guys wearing capes on screen.
Oh yeah.
And that sort of thing.
Your superheroes would be the spiritual superheroes.
Right. Honestly, like, I want to return to this topic at a later time because, like, I'm having a lot of fun and my brain's now just starting to really warm up to it. Like, you can ask questions about, like,
like
the draft is down and people's health is down and things like that. And what does that tell you about their childhood?
Right.
And what does that tell you about who they're raising themselves to be? And yet we hold up on screen like these models of quote unquote perfection, and they aren't. But at the same time, like there's something that's been taken to an excess.
Yeah.
And even said that this is a good excess to some degree.
There's something, you know, you just brought up the draft.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about the draft literally this morning.
Oh, okay. Well, what's God wanting us to talk about in this?
Well,
What?
You know, you're talking about, like, sort of growing up in a different age. Like, there's a part of me that, like, if the United States got drawn into a gigantic war again.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure that I wouldn't sign up to be a chaplain.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have an inclination before there was a conflict.
Fair enough.
Like, it's an interesting thing what is sort of woken up in the human spirit when you have to face something evil, right? Batman.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and email us at theDayUsefultPodcast@gmail.com. Find us on and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Go on pilgrimage with me and Father Stephen to Italy and stuff sometime in May. I'll send a link in the description. God bless you, and as always,
Deus Vult.